Chapter 6. World and terror in the next, nothing graceful or gentle anywhere, and the void in my cowed heart everywhere. This was my childhood, if I may so misuse the word, as to apply it to such a beginning of life. Apostrophe, really though? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Meagles, made very uncomfortable by the picture offered to his imagination. That was a tough commencement. But come. You must now study, and profit by, all that lies beyond it, like a practical man. Apostrophe, if the people who are usually called practical, were practical in your direction, apostrophe, why, so they are. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Meagles. Are they indeed? Apostrophe, apostrophe, well, I suppose so, apostrophe, returned Mr. Meagles, thinking about it. Eh? One can but be practical, and Mrs. Meagles and myself are nothing else. Apostrophe, my unknown course is easier, and more helpful than I had expected to find it then, apostrophe, said Clennam, shaking his head with his grave smile. Enough of me. Here is the boat. Apostrophe, the boat was filled with the cocked hats to which Mr. Meagles entertained a national objection, and the wearers of those cocked hats landed, and came up the steps, and all the impounded travelers congregated together. There was then a mighty production of papers on the part of the cocked hats, and a calling over of names, and great work of signing, sealing, stamping, inking, and sanding, with exceedingly blurred, gritty, and undecipherable results. Finally, everything was done according to rule, and the travelers were at liberty to depart whithersoever they would. They made little account of stare and glare, in the new pleasure of recovering their freedom, but flitted across the harbor in gay boats, and reassembled at a great hotel, whence the sun was excluded by closed lattices, and where bare paved floors, lofty ceilings, and resounding corridors tempered the intense heat. There, a great table in a great room was soon profusely covered with a superb repast, and the quarantine quarters became bare indeed, remembered among dainty dishes, southern fruits, cooled wines, flowers from Genoa, snow from the mountaintops, and all the colors of the rainbow flashing in the mirrors. But I bear those monotonous walls no ill will now, apostrophe, said Mr. Meagles. One always begins to forgive a place, as soon as it's left behind. I dare say a prisoner begins to relent towards his prison, after he is let out. Apostrophe, they were about 30 in company, and all talking, but necessarily in groups. Father and Mother Meagles sat with their daughter between them, the last three on one side of the table. On the opposite side sat Mr. Clennam, a tall French gentleman with raven hair and beard, of a swart and terrible, not to say genteelly diabolical aspect, but who had shown himself the mildest of men, and a handsome young Englishwoman, traveling quite alone, who had a proud observant face, and had either withdrawn herself from the rest, or been avoided by the rest, nobody, herself excepted perhaps, could have quite decided which. The rest of the party were of the usual materials. Travelers on business, and travelers for pleasure, officers from India on leave, merchants in the Greek and Turkey trades, a clerical English husband in a meek straight waistcoat, on a wedding trip with his young wife, a majestic English mama and papa, of the patrician order, with a family of three growing up daughters, who were keeping a journal for the confusion of their fellow creatures, and a deaf old English mother, tough in travel, with a very decidedly grown-up daughter indeed, which daughter went sketching about the universe in the expectation of ultimately toning herself off into the married state. The reserved Englishwoman took up Mr. Meagles in his last remark. Do you mean that a prisoner forgives his prison? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said she, slowly and with emphasis. That was my speculation, Miss Wade. I don't pretend to know positively how a prisoner might feel. I never was one before. Apostrophe, mademoiselle doubts, apostrophe, said the French gentleman in his own language, it's being so easy to forgive? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I do. apostrophe, pet had to translate this passage to Mr. Meagles, who never by any accident acquired any knowledge whatever of the language of any country into which he traveled. Oh, apostrophe, said he. Dear me. But that's a pity, isn't it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, that I am not credulous? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Miss Wade. Not exactly that. Put it another way. That you can't believe it easy to forgive. Apostrophe, my experience, apostrophe, she quietly returned, has been correcting my belief in many respects, for some years. It is our natural progress, I have heard. Apostrophe, well, well. But it's not natural to bear malice, I hope. Apostrophe, said Mr. Meagles, cheerily. If I had been shut up in any place to pine and suffer, I should always hate that place and wish to burn it down, or raise it to the ground. I know no more. Apostrophe, strong, sir. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Meagles to the Frenchman. It being another of his habits to address individuals of all nations in idiomatic English, with a perfect conviction that they were bound to understand it somehow. Rather forcible in our fair friend, you'll agree with me, I think. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the French gentleman courteously replied. Played ill? Apostrophe, apostrophe, to which Mr. Meagles returned with much satisfaction. You are right. My opinion. Apostrophe, the breakfast beginning by and by to languish, Mr. Meagles made the company a speech. It was short enough and sensible enough, considering that it was a speech at all, and hearty. It merely went to the effect that as they had all been thrown together by chance, and had all preserved a good understanding together, and were now about to disperse, and were not likely ever to find themselves all together again, what could they do better than bid farewell to one another, and give one another good speed in a simultaneous glass of cool champagne all round the table? It was done, and with a general shaking of hands the assembly broke up forever. The solitary young lady all this time but said no more. She rose with the rest, and silently withdrew to a remote corner of the great room, where she sat herself on a couch in a window, seeming to watch the reflection of the water as it made a silver quivering on the bars of the lattice. She sat, turned away from the whole length of the apartment, as if she were lonely of her own haughty choice. And yet it would have been as difficult as ever to say, positively, whether she avoided the rest, or was avoided. The shadow in which she sat, falling like a gloomy veil across her forehead, accorded very well with the character of her beauty. One could hardly see the face, so still and scornful, set off by the arched dark eyebrows, and the folds of dark hair, without wondering what its expression would be if a change came over it. That it could soften or relent, appeared next to impossible. That it could deepen into anger or any extreme of defiance, and that it must change in that direction, when it changed at all, would have been its peculiar impression upon most observers. It was dressed and trimmed into no ceremony of expression. Although not an open face, there was no pretense in it. I am self-contained and self-reliant. Your opinion is nothing to me. I have no interest in you. Care nothing for you, and see and hear you with indifference. This it said plainly. It said so in the proud eyes, in the lifted nostril, in the handsome, but compressed and even cruel mouth. Cover either two of those channels of expression, and the third would have said so still. Mask them all, and the mere turn of the head would have shown an unsubduable nature. Pet had moved up to her. She had been the subject of remark among her family and Mr. Clennam, who were now the only other occupants of the room, and was standing at her side. Are you? She turned her eyes, and Pet faltered, expecting anyone to meet you here, Miss Wade? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I? No. Apostrophe, father ascending to the postery stand. Shall he have the pleasure of directing the messenger to ask if there are any letters for you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I thank him, but I know there can be none. Apostrophe, we are afraid, apostrophe, said Pet, sitting down beside her, shyly and half tenderly, that you will feel quite deserted when we are all gone. Apostrophe, indeed. not, apostrophe said Pet, apologetically and embarrassed by her eyes, not, of course, that we are any company to you, or that we have been able to be so, or that we thought you wished it. Apostrophe, I have not intended to make it understood that I did wish it. Apostrophe, no, of course. But in short, apostrophe said Pet, timidly touching her hand as it lay impassive on the sofa between them, will you not allow father to tender you any slight assistance or service? He will be very glad. Apostrophe, very glad, apostrophe said Mr. Meagles, coming forward with his wife and Clennam. Anything short of speaking the language, I shall be delighted to undertake, I am sure. Apostrophe, I am obliged to you, apostrophe she returned, but my arrangements are made, and I prefer to go my own way in my own manner. Apostrophe, do you? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Mr. Meagles to himself, as he surveyed her with a puzzled look. Well, there's character in that too. Apostrophe, I am not much used to the society of young ladies, and I am afraid I may not show my appreciation of it as others might. A pleasant journey to you. Goodbye. Apostrophe, she would not have put out her hand, it seemed, but that Mr. Meagles put out his so straight before her that she could not pass it. She put hers in it, and it lay there just as it had lain upon the couch. Goodbye. Apostrophe, apostrophe said Mr. Meagles. This is the last goodbye upon the list, for mother and I have just said it to Mr. Clennam here, and he only waits to say it to Pet. Goodbye. We may never meet again. Apostrophe, in our course through life we shall meet the people who are coming to meet us, from many strange places, and by many strange roads. Apostrophe was the composed reply. And what it is said to us to do to them, and what it is said to them to do to us, will all be done. Apostrophe, there was something in the manner of these words that jarred upon Pet's ear. It implied that what was to be done was necessarily evil, and it caused her to say in a whisper, "Oh, father!" Apostrophe, apostrophe, and to shrink childishly, in her spoiled way, a little closer to him. This was not lost on the speaker. Your pretty daughter, apostrophe she said, starts to think of such things. Yet, apostrophe looking full upon her, you may be sure that there are men and women already on their road, who have their business to do with you, and who will do it. Of a certainty they will do it. They may be coming hundreds, thousands, of miles over the sea there. They may be close at hand now. They may be coming, for anything you know, or anything you can do to prevent it, from the vilest sweepings of this very town. Apostrophe, with the coldest of farewells, and with a certain worn expression on her beauty that gave it, though scarcely yet in its prime, a wasted look, she left the room. Now, there were many stairs and passages that she had to traverse, in passing from that part of the spacious house to the chamber she had secured for her own occupation. When she had almost completed the journey, and was passing along the gallery in which her room was, she heard an angry sound of muttering and sobbing. A door stood open, and within she saw the attendant upon the girl she had just left, the maid with the curious name. She stood still, to look at this maid. A sullen, passionate girl. Her rich black hair was all about her face, her face was flushed and hot, and as she sobbed and raged, she plucked at her lips with an unsparing hand. Selfish brutes! Apostrophe, apostrophe said the girl, sobbing, and heaving between whiles. Not caring what becomes of me. Leaving me here hungry and thirsty and tired, to starve, for anything they care. Beasts! Devils! Wretches! Apostrophe, my poor girl, what is the matter? Apostrophe, apostrophe, she looked up suddenly, with reddened eyes, and with her hand suspended, in the act of pinching her neck, freshly disfigured with great scarlet blots. It's nothing to you what's the matter. It don't signify to anyone. Apostrophe, oh yes it does. I am sorry to see you so. Apostrophe, you are not sorry, apostrophe said the girl. You are glad. You know you are glad. I never was like this, but twice over in the quarantine yonder, and both times you found me. I am afraid of you. Apostrophe, afraid of me? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes. You seem to come like my own anger, my own malice, my own whatever it is, I don't know what it is. But I am ill-used, I am ill-used, I am ill-used. Apostrophe, apostrophe, hear the sobs and the tears, and the tearing hand, which had all been suspended together since the first surprise, went on together anew. The visitor stood looking at her with a strange attentive smile. It was wonderful to see the fury of the contest in the girl, and the bodily struggle she made, as if she were rent by the demons of old. I am younger than she is by 2 or 3 years, and yet it's me that looks after her, as if I was old, and it's she that's always petted and called baby. I detest the name. I hate her. They make a fool of her, they spoil her. She thinks of nothing but herself. She thinks no more of me than if I was a stock and a stone. Apostrophe, apostrophe, so the girl went on. You must have patience. Apostrophe, I won't have patience. Apostrophe, apostrophe, if they take much care of themselves, and little or none of you, you must not mind it. Apostrophe, I will mind it. Apostrophe, hush. Be more prudent. You forget your dependent position. Apostrophe, I don't care for that. I'll run away. I'll do some mischief. I won't bear it. I can't bear it. I shall die, if I try to bear it. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the observer stood with her hand upon her own bosom, looking at the girl, as one afflicted with a diseased part, might curiously watch the dissection and exposition of an analogous case. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.